Today's presenter is Ty Shrake. Ty Shrake works the Service Integration Bus Level 2 team in RTP, North Carolina. Ty specializes in performing problems in a problem source identification of a client. His responsibilities include problem analysis, using troubleshooting techniques, evaluation, recreation, and resolution of client-reported problems. Also, software environments include middleware, operating system, program languages, software analysis tools, and database systems. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Ty.
Thanks, Elijah. Can everybody hear me okay? I hope so. My name is Ty Shrake. I'm with the SIB Level 2 support team in Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. And today, we just want to talk a little bit about service integration bus, messaging engine, startup problems, and solutions. And Elijah, if we can go to the next slide, page 2. First, we're going to have a short messaging engine overview, just to make sure everybody understands what a messaging engine actually is. Then we're going to go through what a proper messaging engine startup sequence looks like. After that, we'll talk about startup failures and solutions, and I've broken that up into several different groups because, in general, they tend to fall into these groups. Then we're going to hit on one point that isn't necessarily a problem, but it is observed behavior that's easy to view as a problem, and that is slow messaging engine startups. And then lastly, we'll take a look at the list of messaging engine APARs, some of which are for startups and many others are not. But I thought I'd include them because it's a very handy list to have. And so next slide, please. Messaging engine overview. Hopefully everybody listening is somewhat familiar with the messaging engine concept. I'll read here exactly how it's described in the WAS Information Center. It says a messaging engine is a server component that provides the core messaging function of a service integration bus. A messaging engine manages bus resources and allows applications to communicate with the bus. One quick thing I want to point out about that, for those of you who are familiar with WebSphere MQ series, the service integration bus and the messaging engines that constitute the bus basically perform the same messaging function as WebSphere MQ. However, rather than sort of forcing WebSphere MQ to be a part of WAS, as was the case in WAS 5.0 and 5.1, at that time people understood it as embedded messaging, that's what it was called. The service integration bus is a completely integrated component in WAS. It's written in Java like the rest of WAS, and so it's much more tightly integrated with WAS than the old embedded messaging was. But the point here is that it serves the same function as WebSphere MQ, which is messaging. The other thing I want to stress here is that the main reason for having this is to allow applications to communicate with each other. And you can see from my cheesy graphic there that you've got application 1 and application 2, and you've got between them a messaging engine and a queue or a queue point with messages on it. And application 1 can communicate with application 2 by sending messages to the queue, and then application 2 can receive those messages off the queue. That's the basic point of that graphic. That little model applies to almost any messaging engine situation you'll ever deal with. So it's a good little template to keep in mind when you're working with messaging engine problems and applications communicating with each other. And next slide, please. Okay, messaging engine overview. This is more from the Information Center, but I thought it was worth putting in here because it does give a rather good explanation. So I'll quickly read through this. It says each messaging engine is associated with a server or a server cluster that has been added as a member of a bus. When you add an application server or server cluster as a bus member, a messaging engine is automatically created for this new member. If you add the same server as a member of multiple buses, the server is associated with multiple messaging engines, one messaging engine for each bus. You can create additional messaging engines for use with server clusters that are bus members for availability and scalability reasons. However, in its simplest form, a bus can be realized by a single messaging engine. Very quickly on that, it's important to recognize that you don't have to constantly create a messaging engine anytime you add something to the bus. A lot of customers call in wondering if they have to create a messaging engine. Well, if you have a bus and you add a cluster or an individual application server to the bus, and then it becomes a member of the bus, in other words, it becomes joined to the bus and they become aware of each other, a messaging engine will automatically be created for you. Now, if you have just an application server that you add, then you have one messaging engine. It runs on that application server. If you have a cluster of application servers, meaning two or more, and you add the entire cluster as a member of the bus, one messaging engine, again, will be created automatically, and that messaging engine will run on one of those servers. Now, without doing anything else, it'll run on whichever server is available first. But it is possible, using core group policies, to pin that messaging engine to a specific application server. In any event, you don't have to create messaging engines automatically unless you want to use workload management, which is an entirely different discussion. Going on now, it says each messaging engine has its own data store. The messaging engine uses an instance of a JDBC data source to interact with the database that contains the data store for that messaging engine. That's a fancy way of saying that when a messaging engine is created, it needs some place to store data about itself and also messages if you happen to be using persistent messages. And it stores that information in a database. Now, that could be Oracle, it could be DB2, it could be a lot of things. It connects to that database with a JDBC driver. So the JDBC driver is basically between the messaging engine and the database. And this happens to be, this connection between the two is an area where we see failures fairly often. So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And next slide. What is a bus? This is a fairly common question, actually. Technically, a bus is a network of messaging engines, although, as the WAS Information Center stated, only one messaging engine is required to define a bus. And again, there's my second cheesy graphic. You can see that that's a typical bus. In this case, you have two servers, one messaging engine on each server, and that is a bus. A bus is not something you stop or start. You can stop or start a messaging engine, but not a bus. A bus is a logical construct with code supporting it that allows messaging engines to communicate with each other and has a number of other functions. But we sometimes get customers calling in or providing problem descriptions saying that they stop the bus or they start the bus. Well, you can't actually do that, but you can stop and start messaging engines. So conceptually, messaging engines and the bus are basically inseparable. And next slide, please. Okay, this is a normal messaging engine startup sequence. And the thing I want to focus on here is actually two things. First, you'll notice that the first message I put in here, it says CWSID0021. And then it says I. After the 2-1, it says I. I means informational. And it says the configuration reload is enabled for bus 2 in this case, whatever the bus name happens to be. And then the next message says messaging connections are being accepted. Now, what that means is that connections are being accepted to the bus, but it doesn't mean that the messaging engines are actually ready to do anything. So that message is a bit misleading, but be aware that it is part of the sequence, but don't read too much into it. And moving on to the next message and some subsequent messages, you'll notice that I've highlighted some of the words in red. That's because these are keywords that you're going to want to look for to make sure your messaging engine is actually starting okay. And the first one is, again, an informational message. And it says messaging engine Tajrake node 1.server1-bus2 is in state joined. That means that the messaging engine is sort of joining the application server environment and sort of prepping to get going. And the following message says the same verbiage except it ends in starting. And most of the time when messaging engine startup problems occur, it's after this point. So in almost every case, you're going to see up to this point. And next slide, please. Then the next message becomes a bit more complex. Again, it's an informational message. And this time it doesn't give you the name, of the messaging engine in the message. It gives it before that. And it says the message engine ME_UUID equals some big long string and then another similar string, we'll get back to those in a little bit, is attempting to obtain an exclusive lock on the data store. This means that the messaging engine is trying to get connected to the database so that it can access its own data and also store messaging data or retrieve messaging data if it needs to. The next message, again informational, says no previous owner in the messaging engine data store. That's not usually a very important message, but I wanted to include it. Then the next message says that the messaging engine has acquired an exclusive lock on the data store. That means that the messaging engine is now properly connected to the database, and at this point there's very little that can go wrong typically. And so we move through the next few messages about WCCM, or WCCM as we call it sometimes, destination and link configuration, which is basically, I think, a synchronization process. And then finally, at the bottom, we see that the messaging engine is in state started. Once it's in a started state, at that point, messaging can begin. So even though connections were being accepted much earlier, messaging can't begin until you hit the started state. It's important to recognize also, if you've ever looked at system out logs, this is the sequence, but you're going to see a lot of other WAS-related messages in between these. So you're going to have to kind of step through the log to find this exact sequence. They're not going to be all grouped together nice and neatly like this. There's going to be a lot of stuff in between. And next slide, please. Okay, now we'll talk about messaging engine startup failures and solutions. We're constantly learning about new problems and new solutions. In fact, I just found out about another one yesterday, which I'll include in the updated version of the presentation. But the ones we're going to go over here are certainly the most common. Some of them are uncommon, but they're difficult, so I included them. So hopefully these will guide you if you do have a messaging engine startup problem. First, compare the startup sequence, and then look to see if the startup problem is anything like any of these, and then the solution or suggestions will hopefully guide you to the solution. And so we're going to start first talking about data store-related exceptions, which are fairly common. Then we're going to talk about exceptions that say that the messaging engine cannot be found, which is relatively common. Then we're going to talk about messaging engine starts on two different servers, which is not very common, but it is difficult to sort out if you don't know ahead of time what to look for. And finally, messaging engine authentication exception, which is not terribly common, but it's good to know about. And so next slide, please. Okay, messaging engine troubleshooting tips. The WAS Information Center has a list of messaging engine problems and solutions at that link. But as I note below that, the information in that link is somewhat dated, but it does cover a few interesting cases. It's worth looking at. The information that's in this presentation is really an extension of what's in the Information Center, and I think just based on my experience, it covers more of the more common problems. And next page, please. Data store-related exceptions. First thing is a warning. Some customers, most are not doing this at this point, but there are still some customers that are using an incorrect JDBC driver when using Oracle. If you are using Oracle for your database, which is very common, make sure that you're not using the 9.2 driver. Use the 10G thin driver. The 9.2 driver has been known to cause a variety of problems, including messaging engine startup problems. So if you are using that, I highly recommend you move away from that. Now, data store-related exceptions, the first real exception that we'll look at is the CWSIS 1500E, E meaning exception or error. The dispatcher cannot accept work. This message often indicates a problem with the actual database and that the messaging engine is connecting to. Check the system out log for SQL exceptions and other database problems. I'll tell you that this dispatcher exception is kind of generic, so there's not a single solution for this kind of a problem. But if you do see this, I definitely would start looking for SQL exceptions or anything related to the database or possibly the JDBC driver itself. And next slide. Another common data store related exception is this one, which is CWSIS 1546I. This is not really necessarily a problem. It says the messaging engine, and it gives you the MEU UID and the instance UUID, and I'll get back to those later, as I said before, has lost an existing lock or failed to gain an initial lock on the data store. You might see this message during a messaging engine startup, but then the messaging engine may subsequently get a lock on the data store, and this message won't occur, and so it was a temporary condition. There's a number of possible causes for this exception, including using the older version 9 JDBC driver for Oracle. Another cause is that there is already a lock on the data store. In other words, some other messaging engine or some other process or thread already has a lock on the data store, and so the messaging engine can't get the lock that it needs. A common case of that is that people run the RunStats tool or possibly a backup program against the database while the messaging engine is trying to either get a lock or has a lock. We've seen situations where the RunStats tool interferes with the messaging engine's ability to maintain a lock on the data store, and you start seeing exceptions like this. There'll usually be other messages in association with this that narrow the cause down a little bit. If you see this exception in isolation, it doesn't tell you much. Usually you want to look either at the very beginning when this exception started to occur or at the very end if there's some sort of SQL exception typically. But there's not one single cause for this. I do recommend not running RunStats against the tables that are owned by the messaging engine, because if you do, you'll see this exception and you won't be able to do any messaging. Many times this message is seen in association with the next message, which is on the next slide, please. And that is that the messaging engine's unique ID does not match that found in the data store. Let me explain a little bit of background about what this means. When a messaging engine is created, the very first time it's created, I said before that it needs to create some tables in its own little database. And the first table is the SIB owner table, which the messaging engine puts a lock on. And then the subsequent tables have a variety of information in them. Part of that information is the UUID number of that particular messaging engine. In other words, a number that identifies that specific messaging engine. When the messaging engine starts, one of the things that it does is it checks to see that the UUID value that's in the data store matches the messaging engine UUID number that the messaging engine knows about through the XML configuration files. If they do not match, you're going to get this exception. And typically, let me read what's below the exception. It says this exception occurs when an MEUUID value in the data store doesn't match the value of the messaging engine itself. This is usually caused by deleting a messaging engine but not deleting its data store, and then recreating the messaging engine with exactly the same name as before. And the solution to this problem is to drop the tables owned by the previous messaging engine and then recreate the tables on messaging engine startup. In other words, if you have a messaging engine called A, and the messaging engine creates its tables, and there's no problem, and the messaging engine runs fine, it puts an MEUUID value into the tables. Now, that UUID value matches the UUID value in the SIB engine's XML file. And so when the messaging engine starts, it compares these values. If the UUID values match, then the messaging engine starts up fine. It knows it has a lock on the correct tables. However, if you delete messaging engine A and do nothing else and then recreate it, that new instance of that messaging engine, because it's brand new, even though it has exactly the same name, has a new UUID number. So that's going to get written to the XML files. but that will not match the UUID value, which is the old one that's still in the data store. When that happens, you're going to get this kind of a message. The only solution to this is to, you can't manually edit the XML files to update the UUID value so that it matches what's in the data store. The proper solution to this is to delete or drop the tables and then recreate the tables during messaging engine startup, which is the next time you start up the messaging engine. And you do that by selecting the create table option in the messaging engine runtime configuration in the admin console. This is a very common problem. The way to avoid it is anytime you delete a messaging engine for any reason, make sure you delete its associated message store or data store. Okay, next slide. Okay, this is a less common problem, much less common actually, but I thought I'd point it out because when it happens, it's pretty serious, and there's really only one solution that I'm aware of. And this, I included this exception, but keep in mind, this is not the only manifestation of this sort of exception. The exception, though, says the link with name blah, 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 and UUID blah, blah, blah cannot be recovered from the data store. And then it goes on to give you a little more information, and the exception ends with stream corrupted exception. And it says an invalid stream header at com.ibm, et cetera. And the message will go on for much longer than this. This is just the beginning of the message. But this looks like a pretty catastrophic problem, and it is. And at least in my experience, what it indicates is that there's corrupt data in the data store. And the only way that I know of to get around this problem is to delete and recreate the data store. I'm not aware of any other simple solution where you could go in and surgically remove something out of the data store. You just basically have to get rid of it in its entirety. Also, this message starts off with the link with name, and then it goes on to something fairly specific. It's not necessarily going to say that. It could be a reference to some other kind of an object or maybe something that you've never even heard of before. The point, though, is that the stream is corrupted, which means that the object cannot be read out of the database. And again, if it's whether it's a queue or a link or any other sort of information associated with the bus, you're going to have to get rid of the data store. And next slide, please. Okay, messaging engine cannot be found. This is a fairly common exception, but there's a couple of gotchas that you want to be aware of. This exception, CWSIV0759W, W meaning warning, says that during activation of a message-driven bean, no suitable active messaging engines were found in the local server on the bus, your bus. Well, that looks like a really bad situation, but 99% of the time, this is a transient situation. And just below that, I write, often seen when applications are started before the messaging engine they connect to is ready to accept work. In other words, ready to do messaging. Most of the time, these messages are transient, especially if they appear shortly after application server startup. In most cases, once the messaging engine starts, these messages will go away and normal message processing will begin. This exception does not necessarily indicate an actual problem. And I'll tell you what the cause of this is that the messaging engine, when it starts up, it has a lot of housekeeping and work to do to make sure that it starts up properly and it's ready to do its work. It has a lot of tasks to go through. But a message-driven bean usually has very little to do. And so the message-driven beans almost always start up before the messaging engine. So they start up, they make a connection to the messaging engine, which isn't finished starting yet, and when that happens, you get this exception. However, once the messaging engine starts, this exception will go away. The message-driven beans will be able to connect successfully to the messaging engine, and off you go. So if you see this, don't be too alarmed by it. Usually it's transient. You can ignore it. And next slide, please. Okay, this next exception about a messaging engine cannot be found is somewhat more serious than the one we just talked about. This is CWSIT0103E, And it says no messaging engine was found that matched the following parameters. And then it lists a whole group of name value pairs. There's a number of possible causes for this. One is that the messaging engine doesn't actually exist, and it'll specify your bus name and so forth, so it'll be easy to figure out which messaging engine it's talking about. It might be because the messaging engine was deleted, or because a previous member of the bus is no longer a member of the bus. Let me talk about that for a second. This message doesn't necessarily indicate that the messaging engine is missing. I mean, it's possible that the messaging engine exists, but for some reason is not able to communicate with other code. But you certainly should check that the messaging engine actually exists. If it doesn't, then you have to ask yourself, well, did somebody delete it, or is there some other reason it doesn't exist? And if it was working okay before, and then suddenly you get this message and the messaging engine does not exist, if nobody deleted it, and this is something that I just heard about yesterday, and I've never heard of this happening to anybody, but since it has happened, I thought I'd mention it. Somebody upgraded a bunch of code on their system, and you may recall at the beginning of this presentation, I said that when you add a member to a bus, whether it's an individual application server or a cluster of servers, a messaging engine is automatically created. Well, if you reverse that process and remove that member from the bus, that messaging engine goes away. And this individual, because of all the code upgrades they did, somehow one of their bus members was removed, and therefore the messaging engine disappeared. Well, applications that needed to connect to it now couldn't connect, and of course that caused the problem. So I don't expect that to be a common problem. We don't know yet what's causing that, but it is something to keep in mind. Next slide, please. Okay, and this is a little bit of a reiteration of what I just said, but it says, if you see a message like this, check to see that the messaging engine is actually running. If it shows started status in the admin console, and this is something I haven't mentioned yet, then this problem is likely occurring in the workload management selection code, and you might see the following failure with the message that we just looked at, and that is the select failed, and then there'll be a bunch of stuff after that. One of the things that we see fairly often is that during startup, the workload management code and the HA code both have selection code that determines. The HA code is going to determine what messaging engine runs on which server, and the WLM code is more involved with workload distribution, but it does have selection code in it as well. If you see this, if you see the previous message we just looked at where it says no messaging engine is available, and you see something like this that follows it, that indicates something outside of the messaging engine code itself. It's probably the WLM code, although it could be HA code. I've seen several different varieties of this. If you get into that, then one of the WAS teams would need to look into that, but this is a rather tricky problem, so I wanted to give some guidance on it and some understanding, and hopefully you won't see this, but if you do, go back to this and see if this helps at all. And next slide, please. Okay, and this is a little more information on this. It says, if a WLM code is not able to select the messaging engine, then the ME will not be available to other resources. One solution to this is to force the ME to become available by calling the setAvailable method on the cluster ME. For those of you that are familiar with Java, that might make a little more sense. There is a Jython script that includes the complete code to do this that will be posted on the web, hopefully, in the DCF item for this presentation. And the Java doc for the cluster MVN is in that first link. And for completeness, I also included the SIB message engine MVN Java doc below that. And that Java doc shows you all the methods that you can call, to have some control, some manual control over the cluster and also individual messaging engines. For those of you that are familiar with Java or Jython, you might find this very useful. My point, though, in the text above that is that there are times when a messaging engine may be set to unavailable by the WLM code. We may not know the reason for that right away, but a quick fix might be to run the script that calls the set available method for that messaging engine, and that might fix it, hopefully. This should be a very rare occurrence, but it's still possible. So at the end of the presentation, we're going to try to upload the script along with the presentation. But at the end of this presentation, I'll provide my email address for anybody that wants me to send it to them, just in case we're not able to upload it for some technical reason. And next slide, please. Okay, messaging engine starts on two different servers. This is not at all a common problem, but I've included it here because it can be very difficult to sort out if you don't know exactly what to look for. If you have a messaging engine, that messaging engine has a UUID number associated with it. We talked about that earlier. That UUID number is the number that identifies that specific messaging engine. It also has another number called an instance UUID. That's the INC UUID. And let me read the error message first, and I'll clarify a bit about this. It says the messaging engine, and then it gives the ME UUID number, and then the INC, which is the instance UUID number, has lost an existing lock or failed to gain an initial lock on the data store. Well, if you have a messaging engine with that particular UUID, what should happen during startup is that that messaging engine starts on some application server, and then on another application server, another instance of that same messaging engine will go into a joined state. And you may recall from earlier in the presentation, I pointed out the joined state is a very early stage of messaging engine startup. Now, it goes into a joined state and stays there. It should never complete startup. And the reason for this is you now have the first instance of the messaging engine in a started state, which is doing messaging work, and the second instance on another server that's in a joined state. The reason for this is that this is about high availability. If the first messaging engine that's running and doing work goes down for some reason, the WLM and HA code will start the second instance and move it from a joined to a started state so it can pick up the messaging load. Now, each of these instances have the same ME UUID value, but they have two different instance values. So, let's go to the next slide. And as I say there, it says this exception will appear on two different servers. In other words, the system out logs for two different servers will show this. They will be identical except for the instance UUID values. For example, on server one, the system out log will show the messaging engine MEUUID in a big long string, followed by the instance ID has lost an existing lock or failed to gain an initial lock on the data store. On server two, the system out log will show essentially the identical message. However, if you look carefully at this, and this is why I highlighted the IDs in blue and red, the MEUUIDs match exactly. The instance IDs do not. So they're different instances of the same messaging engine, one of which, under ordinary circumstances, should be in a started state, the other of which should be in a joined. In this problem, they are both trying to go into a started state, and you cannot have two messaging engines with exactly the same MEUUID running at the same time. So next slide, please. Okay, this exception can occur if the HA manager in WAS is not enabled. The HA manager sorts out which ME to start on which server. The solution to this problem is to start the HA manager. This can be done in the admin console. I don't know why the HA manager would not be enabled. It should be enabled by default. Presumably somebody would have to go in there and manually disable it, but there's probably other ways, probably through WSAdmin and through Jython scripts and so on. This is not a common problem, but if you don't know what to look for, which is what I just went through, it can be real difficult to sort it out because it's a very small difference that you're looking for. Once you know about that, you'll know right away what the solution is. Okay, Next slide, please. Okay, messaging engine authentication exception. I will point out up front that I am not a WAS security expert, but I did want to point this out because this is relatively common. It says sometimes during messaging engine startup, it's not possible for the messaging engine to connect to its data store due to a security problem. The following exception is typically thrown. And it'll say your bus, whatever your bus name is, it says CWSIS0002E, the messaging engine encountered an exception while starting, exception com.ibm.ws.sib.messagestore.persistence exception, and if you see persistence exception, that usually means a data store problem. And it says CWSIS1501E, the data source has produced an unexpected exception, and then it would give you typically an SQL exception. In this case, it's an Oracle exception. You can tell by the ORA. And then it will end with insufficient privileges, which is in red there. Basically, what that means is that when the messaging engine started up, it needs to connect to the data store. And if you have bus security enabled, which you don't have to have, but if you do, and your database has some sort of privileges set on it, which it almost certainly will, and you're not passing the correct user ID when you need to connect to the database or when the messaging engine needs to connect, you're going to get this message, and the messaging engine will not start. So next slide, please. This exception indicates that the messaging engine does not have authority to connect to its own data store. In most cases, the JDBC component managed authentication alias is set incorrectly. So in other words, the data store, the data source rather, configuration, the JDBC driver, has a field called component managed authentication alias. You need to make sure that that has the correct user ID specified. And next slide, please. Okay. If you are using persistent messages and you have a large number of these messages on a queue or topic on a messaging engine and the messaging engine is restarted for any reason, the messaging engine may take a long time to start up. The reason for this is that during messaging engine restart, each message must be read from the data store and recreated on the queue. Until all of these messages are restored to the queue, the messaging engine will not messaging will not be possible for this queue. To avoid this situation, try not to leave large numbers of messages or persistent messages specifically on queues. If your applications are working properly, there should be very few messages on a queue at any given time. Let me kind of flesh this out a little bit. We've had customers call in saying, well, it takes 40 minutes or whatever for our messaging engine to start. And after tracing and looking at the traces, we can see that the messaging engine is going into the data store and reading out messages and restoring them to its queue in memory. And if you only have a handful of messages on a queue, this is a relatively quick process. But if you have lots and lots of messages, the messaging engine has to index through all of them. And the more it has to index through, the longer it takes. And so we have customers who start up their messaging engines. The messaging engine gets a lock on the data store, and then it begins restoring messages to the queue. And the more messages you have, the longer it's going to take. And I've seen it take up to an hour in some cases. And the moral of the story, though, is do not store or try not to store lots and lots of messages on queues. Particularly when you shut down a messaging engine. Now, obviously, this is a practice. It's a best practice, and you want to avoid shutting down the messaging engine with lots of messages on the queues if you can, but that's not always possible. There might be some circumstance beyond your control that forces the messaging engine down. But if you have lots of messages out there, it will take a while to restore them. Now, I will tell you that there is a discussion in development to try to speed this process up. I don't know what the outcome of that will be. I'm sure some kind of change will be made. But for the time being, you need to be aware of this. So if you see your messaging engine taking a very long time to start up, ask yourself how many messages were actually on the queue. Now, keep in mind, this is persistent messages. Non-persistent messages do not get written to the data store. So in the message, if you have 10,000 non-persistent messages on the messaging engine and the messaging engine gets shut down, none of those messages will need to be restored to the queue when the messaging engine starts up, so it'll start fairly quickly. Because non-persistent messages are not written to the data store, so during startup, they don't need to be read out of the data store. However, if you're using persistent messages, you could see this problem. All right, next page, please. Messaging engine APARs. I've included quite a few APARs here. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I did want to put these in here because it makes it much easier to see what's out there specifically for messaging engines. But there's a few of these that are fairly important. For example, if you look on this page, the second one from the bottom, it says null pointer exception thrown by persistent message store implementation start causes a SIB message engine startup failure. That's APAR PK45306. That's pretty important because that's a code fix problem. Some of these are performance related. And I'll leave it to you to go through these in any kind of detail. But I certainly would be aware of them. If you have a startup problem, you might want to check this list right off the bat to see if it's a known problem. If it's not, then maybe it fits into one of the categories we've gone through. Also note that this list applies to WAS 6.1. I did not include anything from 6.0. Some of these map to 6.0. Some don't. If you have 6.0, it's easy enough to make a similar list, but most customers seem to be moving to 6.1, so that's what I looked at. And next page, please. These are more APARs that don't necessarily have anything to do with messaging engine startup problems, and this is about 95% of the known APARs for messaging engines in 6.1. So, again, they're not necessarily startup problems, but it's awfully handy to have a list like this. And next page, please. Finally, the end of that list. And next page, please. And just to summarize, we talked about what messaging engines are. We talked about a proper startup sequence and what it looks like. We talked about various failures and solutions. And there's not always a clean-cut solution to every exception. Some exceptions have multiple causes, but the ones I've included here, I've tried to give the most common solutions. We talked about slow messaging engine startups, which is more of a best practices thing than anything else, and of course the APARs. And I guess the most important thing to take away from this is that when you have a messaging engine startup problem, check the system out log. It's the most important task when trying to troubleshoot these startup problems. FFDCs are often helpful. We usually go to those when the system out log isn't quite as straightforward as we like. But if you have a startup problem, check that system out log for that application server. I'd say probably 80% of the time it'll tip you off pretty quickly as to what the problem is, or at least where to look. And next page, please. And these are additional WebSphere links that you may find helpful. I hope you do. And next page. And questions and answers. That's it. Elijah?
Thanks, Todd, for a great presentation.
Oh, thank you.
Ellie Elmer?
Yeah, just a couple of quick questions here. First question is, the CWS messages, which component does that belong to?
Typically, those are for SIB as a whole. In other words, anything to do with messaging engine, buses, queues, topics, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Next question is, you were mentioning, that issue about messaging engine startup taking a long time because the persistent message queue is very heavily loaded with messages.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was just wondering, maybe this was discussed in the best practices. I'm not sure. I didn't read it. But I was thinking that probably the easiest solution from a customer's perspective would be to lower the queue depth so that they never really have that many messages at any one time in the queue.
That's very interesting. Before I get to that, one quick point about your previous question. You asked about the CWS messages. Most of the time, You see those, and certainly within the context of this discussion, it deals with messaging engines and SIB and so on. But there are CWSX messages, excuse me, that are for the SCA component, which is part of WebSphere Process Server.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've seen a lot of them, and it's very confusing to know. Where it belongs, you know what I mean?
Right. Going to your point about lowering the threshold on the queue, in other words, the maximum number of messages that are allowed to exist on the queue at any point in time, there have been times when we've recommended that to customers. It's a workaround because the default value is 50,000 messages. If they lower it to, say, 5,000, then if they get 5,000 messages in the queue, they'll certainly have a problem sooner than they would if they left it at 50,000. But that's still a lot of messages. And so if they run into that situation on any sort of persistent basis or continual basis, you have to start asking, well, why aren't these messages being removed from the queue in a timely manner? I mean, ideally, you should have a handful of messages or fewer on the queue at any one moment. But you're right. If you do that, and at least as a workaround on a temporary basis, certainly, it's not a bad idea at all, because if they do run into the problem, they'll run into it sooner, but it sure will make messaging and startup much faster.
Yes. I guess it's a design issue, isn't it?
Well, it's complicated. There's a number of factors involved with reading messages back on the queues. Part of it's algorithms. Excuse me. Part of it is the fact that we have to read from a disk, which is typically about 100,000 times slower than memory. So it's a combination of factors, but I do know that development is having discussions about how to speed this process up in the event that it does happen, because having to wait 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes for a messaging engine startup would be unacceptable for most customers, and it's easy to see why.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure.
As a reminder, star one, if you do have a question, we'll move on to Swami Subram. Swami, your line is open.
Hi, I'm sorry, I was on mute earlier. One question I have is this about this instance ID, which we see in the log messages. So this instance ID is unique to each box, right? The messaging engine running on each box, am I right?
Well, it's not necessarily unique to each box. It's unique to each instance of the messaging engine. And going back to the example I gave before, just to clarify this point, when a messaging engine is created, it is given a messaging engine UUID, and it is also given an instance UUID. So it's really got two ID numbers.
Okay.
Now, in the simplest possible environment, let's say you have a messaging engine A, we'll call it, that starts up on an application server, okay? That messaging engine will go into a started state and do messaging. Everything's normal. However, something that is done automatically under the covers is that a second instance of messaging engine A will go into a joined state on a second server, okay? Unless you have only one application server, which is pretty rare. So on the second server, you have messaging engine A, just like you do on the first server, but instead of going all the way started, it stops at a joined state. Now, this messaging engine A that's in a joined state has the same messaging engine UUID as the messaging engine that's in a started state. However, it has a different instance ID number, INC UUID number, so that the underlying code is able to distinguish between the two. They have the same name. They have the same messaging engine ID number. So the instance number for each one is different so that they can be distinguished from each other. So does that answer your question? And they don't have to necessarily be on separate machines. They can be on the same machine.
Okay. And one more question. This presentation is primarily with WAS 6.0, or does it cover ME on WAS 6.1 also?
Well, everything I've explained here would cover both 6.0 and 6.1.
Because in 6.1, we see the provision for a file store, wherein without using a database, we can store this messaging information locally also.
That's right. The most of everything we've already talked about would still apply, although you, well, you would still get SQL exceptions even, because I think you're still using SQL calls to store data. But, no, okay, correction, no SQL in the file store, the flat file, and we own it completely. And I should point out that it's been shown by testing that the file store is actually faster than a database.
Yeah, that's right. And when we have this file stores in 6.1, I guess there is a provision for all MEs to remain active.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
In 6.1, in Information Center or something, there was an article which explained on having messaging engines active on multiple servers simultaneously. So currently, I think in a cluster configuration, we have a provision wherein the ME is active only on one server at a time. But in this case, it was shown that we can have the ME remain active on multiple servers. So that we tried it out in the lab and it was working. But my question is, will that work in a database setup? Like, because when you use a data store, you can have only one connection at one point of time from a messaging engine, right?
Yeah, each messaging engine has its own data store that it owns, okay? Or in the case of file stores, its own file store. So if you have three messaging engines, each one of those will have a different data store. You do not want messaging engines, different messaging engines, sharing the same data store.
Okay.
But it is possible to have multiple messaging engines. For instance, if you have a cluster with four application servers, for example, and you add that as a member to the bus, by default, you're going to get one messaging engine automatically created for you.
Yeah.
But if you then subsequently add additional messaging engines, you can have a messaging engine running on each server. And that's a WLM environment, or a workload managed environment.
Yeah.
But the ME UUID values are all different for each messaging engine, as are the instance values. So everything we've already discussed in this presentation would still apply, even though you have more than one messaging engine, although it complicates things a bit.
Yeah. And one last question. What is this Enterprise Service Bus? I guess it's a new product. Is it a replacement for SIB, or is it an add-on or something like that?
No, it's not. It's not a replacement for SIB. I'm not familiar with the internals of Enterprise Service or Enterprise Server Bus. But it's definitely not a replacement for SIB. In fact, I believe Enterprise Service Bus includes SIB under the covers for its messaging component. So it's something built around that and maybe around a few other WAS components, but it's certainly not a replacement for it.
Yeah, that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay.
If there are no further questions in the queue, I'll turn it back to our speakers for any additional or closing comments.
Yes. Let me give out my email address here at IBM in case if for some reason we cannot upload the script that I discussed earlier in the presentation. You can send me an email and request it, and I'll be happy to send it to you. And that address is Ty Schrake, that's spelled T-Y-S-H-R-A-K-E, at us.ibm.com. And just put in the subject line that it's presentation script, so I'll know that that's what it's about. And for the next 2 weeks, I'll monitor for those emails. Any requests that come after that, I'm not likely to respond to them, simply because I want to make sure that I don't become everybody's sort of personal support person. Before that, I'll be happy to send any scripts that you request that I have, particularly the one I mentioned in the presentation. But we'll still try to upload it to the website to make it available for everybody to download.
All right, at this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Web Series Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Ty, for presenting today.